Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Spill the Baby Tea, a podcast where we candidly talk about all things motherhood and parenthood. My name is Helen Wu Wang. I'm a mom to a 26-month-old baby boy, and I'm here to create a space where we can all share, connect, and feel a little less alone. On today's episode, I am going to recap what the first week of daycare was like for us. Our first time sending our baby boy out into the wild. Honestly, there are so many things I didn't know, didn't expect. Shocking realities that I'm accepting and conforming to, and just overall how I feel now that we're about a month in, is something that I am excited to share with you all. To all the parents out there, we are in this together, so let's get this episode started. As with every episode of Spill the Baby Tea, we are going to start with our giggle and drool of the week. Starting with our drool. Our whole household is sick right now. You can probably hear it in my voice. I think this was also my last episode's drool, so I might sound like I'm just repeating myself here, but this is just where we are in our phase of parenting and raising a kid who is just starting to enter the school environment. The biggest drool right now is that every morning for the past week, our baby has been waking up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. or at 5 a.m. You hear this high-pitched scream, and he's just clawing at his eyes, which are sealed shut with hardened eye floaties. And it's just like the saddest sound and the saddest vision. And he's gotten a little bit better now, but every time I saw him in that state, I always thought about that Stewie clip from Family Guy, you know, the one where he goes, "Oh, squiggly line in my eye fluid," and it's like a whole ass poem dedicated to his roaming eye floaty and how it keeps disappearing when he tries to look at it, but then when he ignores it is when it finds itself in the center of his eye. I imagine that if my child could communicate his thoughts, this is definitely a poem that he'd be reciting, because I do see his eyes going back and forth, like trying to catch his eye floaty in the middle of the day, and then he's doing this like major eye roll all the time. But at nighttime, when he's clawing at his eye, I just get a warm cloth and I'm able to wipe it away, and he's been okay. Sometimes he continues to just stay awake, but other times, thank goodness, he has fallen back asleep. But anyway, it's just been tough and definitely not something that I had anticipated. I mean, people had warned me that you can't start school without anticipating sickness, but I just didn't imagine that it would basically take us out, take him out. And I just have a lot of thoughts on it, which I'll elaborate maybe later on. But yeah, the Wang household is a germ pool right now. And that is my drool of the week. For my giggle of the week, I wish I could change my voice so it doesn't sound so sad. But for my giggle, it's having people reach out during difficult times and me just being extremely grateful for that. I think whenever you have to take on the title of a mom or a parent or a caregiver, that title comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of weight. And there's a never-ending list of things you feel like you need to learn to equip yourself with to becoming a better parent. So much so that it can literally drive you crazy. It's a tall mountain to climb. But when our baby was sick and I had shared it with some people, this one friend texted me. She has a 3-year-old and a newborn, so this isn't her first rodeo with children being sick. And she said all the right things. She said all the right things. Asked how we were doing with our work, and really just having a solid understanding of what it means to parent and to deal with a sick kid. And then she just listed off so much gold in advice. She said, this is what I do for my babies, and this is what works for me. And I just had a moment of like, man, I feel like I'm just watching my baby suffer and cough his little brains out. But the doctor we talked to said, cough medicine for 2-year-olds aren't really potent enough to help suppress a cough, so don't even bother. And I'm like, well, do I listen to that? Do I not? And I feel like every time we visit the doctor, they're just like so nonchalant about this hacking child who has bags under his eyes for a 2-year-old. And they just make our case feel like nothing out of the ordinary. And I'm sure it is, in fact, nothing out of the ordinary. And what they would tell us is just make sure to give him lots of liquid and rest. And I'm like, it just feels like such a fucking waste of time every time I go to the doctors. And so my takeaway has always just been to wait it out. Hydrate them, keep them warm, fed, soothe them, and wait it out. Just let it pass. So when this friend shared this list of things that she does, which I will share with you all as well, shout out to Jax, it just felt like I should have known these things. Like, they're not obvious. I felt a tinge of, man, am I a shitty mom for just watching my kid suffer and hug him and try and hug his pain away for not knowing these things? You know, like, why am I just watching my kid suffer? But once I stopped making it about myself and talking negatively to myself, which I often do, I just recognized, you know, the benefit of having your support system, friends who are also parents, friends who have also gone through everything you're going through right now, a community of supportive women and men. And honestly, that is just my giggle of the week, because this week has been filled with sickness. And when a friend reaches out to you during this time, it just feels like a little bit of light. This week, my friend Mel, shout out Mel Ham, just randomly sent me a gift card for coffee too, because she knew I was in the dumps. And I literally almost cried, because I think parenting is a really lonely journey sometimes. And when you feel seen, it just feels like a literal weight is lifted from you. So my giggle of the week is the community of friends and moms and parents and caregivers who reach out with nothing else but the intent to help a struggling parent. So if you out there, you know a parent, friend that is going through it, I love both of these approaches of offering tactical advice and also a small gift to say, I'm thinking of you. Those two offers go a long way. And so I'm going to try and quickly share the things that my friend Jax had sent to me, tips for how to care for a sick child that might help some of you out there as well if you're not already incorporating this into your routine. VapoRub for kids, which for a lot of my life, my mom had used Tiger Balm or the white flower analgesic balm, which I definitely had to Google how to say, but she would use that stuff on me all my life. It just usually stung, so I didn't want to put it on him since he's only 2 years old. I looked at the packaging right before this episode, and for the white flower balm, you can start using it at the age of 3. So he's only 2, so good thing I didn't use that on him. But with the VapoRub, they do sell a version for kids 2+, and you rub it all over the chest and throat to help them sleep, breathe, and to help with coughing. I think some people also say to put the VapoRub under their feet as well, but based on a quick Google search, I'm not sure if that is scientifically backed. I also put the rub behind his ears and on his back, just because that's where my mom put the balm on for me, so I've been doing that for him. Another thing, Frida Vapor Bath Bombs, which we've gone through a whole package now. We're on our second package, and I feel like it's nice in concept, but it's kind of weak, but also better than nothing, you know? And maybe it's weak for me and not for him. Like, he's much tinier than me, and he's in the bath, and I'm not really fully immersed in the bath. So maybe it's doing his job, not really sure, but we did just reorder it again. I think it helps more than it doesn't. And it's been really lifting his spirits in the bathtub to see this little disintegrating bath bomb. It's kind of fun too. So we'll continue using it until he's better. Another tip, if they're not eating well or drinking enough fluids, my friend had suggested low sugar fruit popsicles, which is so genius. There was a period of time that my baby was not drinking anything, not even full sugar apple juice. So I bought the popsicles right away. But luckily around that time, he started downing liquids pretty well. So I haven't introduced the popsicles to him yet. Otherwise, he's definitely going to be asking for it like every day. I've had myself three already. They're great. But I thought that was just a great tip and wanted to share it with you all as well. Because sick kiddos do need to be hydrated. Also, sore throat lollipops for kids. Didn't know they existed. They do. And a humidifier in every room. All such great tips. Again, shout out to Jax, and I will link everything in the show notes. I also just bought a bunch of other sick kid related items, which honestly I should be using for myself right now. I bought this saline mist instead of the saline shooter thing that goes directly into your nose. This mist comes with a kind of like a cone so that the saline is a mist that encompasses your facial area versus having it up your nostril. Which even for me, I wouldn't do for myself. So it's really hard for me to force this onto him. And he will not let us get 3 feet of him with a saline bottle. So we'll see how the mist goes. And if this and other things work well, I will share it with you all as well. All right, I feel like I went off on a complete tangent here. But I always love to give tangible advice to other parents out there. Things that are working for me and things that perhaps if you are, say, struggling with a sick kid too, sharing the actual things that you can incorporate into your home today or even tomorrow. And perhaps you're already doing these things. Maybe there are things that I'm not doing. I would love to hear from you as well because I am taking all the tips that I can get. Sharing also whatever I collect and can share myself as a newish mom to a 2-year-old baby boy, and I'm just happy that I can share it with my community.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
So let's get into it. What was the first week of daycare like? Well, first, I'm going to share exactly what we did to prep him for his first day. I do believe that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I stick by that rule. So the week leading up to the school, we got these books to read to him, and I'll list them out and also include them in the episode notes. We got Pete the Kitty's first day of school. Pete the Kitty, very popular. Elmo's off to school. Elmo! Gosh, that's terrible. Daniel goes to school, Daniel the tiger. And then my friend Kathy got me The Kissing Hand and The Invisible String. And I loved both of those books so much. Those are classics. And I think reading these books to him every night really set in him this concept of school, the concept of meeting new friends, playing with new friends. Like, he's been home by himself, a little homebody for a while now. So what is it like to actually play with new friends daily? Sharing, having teachers, these concepts that no one else had introduced him to before us. Also, when we let him watch TV, we would also show him school-related shows. The day before his first day of school, we dropped by for about 10 minutes just to get into the car, go the route, see the school, introduce him to his teachers. And when we got there, the kids were outside for outdoor time, and he was so excited to play in the sandbox and see all the trucks in the sand, and he didn't want to leave. So I think that was a really good introduction, and I really do think that helped. The night before his first day, we got his lunch ready. My sister let me borrow 2 of her lunch boxes, which were perfect. We have the bento one, which has 5 compartments, and then the omelet one, which has a section for hot foods. It's a little fancier, but we've been using the bento one like every day. I think that one is legit enough. Again, we'll link these in the show notes as well. Now with his lunch, we decided to do something a little more special for his first day, and this has become an off and on regular thing for us, and that's to include a photo of the 3 of us in there, of me, of Philip, and of our baby. Just so that when it comes to midday lunchtime, if he is missing us a little, it's a nice surprise for him to see our face in there. I guess kind of like the concept of a note, but because he can't read yet, or at least I don't think he can read yet, it's more of a visual that shows that, you know, we're always with him. We have a label maker, which I'll also link in the show notes. Super useful to have. We labeled his water bottle, his backpack, his blanket, his crib sheet, his jacket, his sunscreen. We took out a black Sharpie, labeled his underwear and all the tagless items, which kind of made me sad that we were like defacing his clothes. But it's definitely something you have to do for daycare. Otherwise, your items are going to get mixed in a shuffle of 10 plus kids. And that was mostly it. The morning of, man, you got to like schedule in time to get out the door, which I know all you parents out there know this already, but oh, you got to schedule in time, especially in the morning. It's like so much more work to do that. Baby takes right now maybe 30 minutes at top speed to get out the door. But that first week, it took maybe an hour, hour 15 or so. And our process for him is to wake him up, use the potty. He's still in diapers, but only for night times, which we'll start taking off once his diapers dry from the night. But it is still massive at night. It is so full. I'm like, how are you walking with this thing around your waist? So we're definitely not ready for that yet. He'll potty, brush teeth, wash face, lotion, and that takes about 10, 15 minutes. Then we'll let him play or even watch TV while we make breakfast. Another 5 minutes or so, let him eat, 5 to 10 minutes. When he's eating, we pack his lunch. Once he's done, we'll wash his hands, get him dressed, another 5 to 10 minutes. Pack up his stuff, about 5 minutes. All in all, it's like now, yeah, like a 40-minute process. And then we need to get ready too, unless I literally roll out of bed and out the door. So lately, the way we've been making this work is that if I'm taking our kid to school, one of us takes our kid to school now. The first week it was both of us. But if I'm taking our kid to school, I get 40 minutes to get ready, and then Philip's doing all the prep work. If Philip's taking him to school, I'll get baby ready and then wake Philip up like 10 minutes before we need to head out the door, because men have it so much easier than us. But that's how we've been making it work for our family. We're both very involved in the morning process. So now I'm going to walk through what each day was like for the drop-offs for us, so you can hear how different each day was. And I'm just going to pause here and apologize that my voice is just so monotonous and like, so nasally. I hear it myself as I'm talking. I'm already like, ugh, I don't want to review this episode. All right, day one. He happily walked up to the classroom, even tried to console some other kids who were crying on the walk towards school. And this is where Philip and I think, made our biggest mistake. We lingered. We ourselves were feeling some sort of way, perhaps expecting a certain reaction out of our son that we were just so used to hearing from people that, you know, they'll have a tantrum and cry and not let you leave. So we were being extra coddly and extra accommodating. And we lingered, I think, a little too long. They say to be firm with your goodbyes and to not sneak away. And if I were to compare my firmness to tofu, since that's how you identify different types of tofu, I would say I was like a medium firm tofu. Not a firm tofu, but like a soft medium. Level 2 out of 5 tofu with my goodbye on that first day. Pretty damn soft. And after we lingered and finally felt ready to go, our baby said, "No, mommy, stay. Mommy, play." And reached for my hand and held my hand. And then I was like, oh, okay, time to leave. And started walking towards the door. And it just got progressively worse and worse. All the kids were so still and watching this interaction escalate. They're like, oh, we've been through that before. We know what's going on here. And our baby got to the point where he was on the ground on all fours, clawing the ground to try and reach us, scraping his nails on the floor to get to us. And his teacher had to pick him up and basically drag him away. I think that image is forever seared into my memory. And it was so fucking tough. I hated that moment. Even when I think about it now, I hated it. Every part of me felt the most intense mom guilt. Like, why am I doing this? Does my son need to go to school? Do I need to put him in school so that I can answer that email that's just been sitting in my inbox waiting for a response? Do they deserve that much of my time? Or should my time be given to my kid who needs me, who's clawing on the floor to reach me and I'm stepping away? You know? I'm like, I could homeschool, couldn't I? Like, literally all these thoughts went through my head. And I knew they had outdoor play around 9 o'clock, so Philip and I, we actually stuck around for about half an hour because we couldn't hear his cries from the outside, right? And we needed to know if he was still crying or not. And when they came out, he still was. And it broke my heart to hear that. The teachers, thankfully, were accommodating to him. We were literally staring through the crack of two pieces of wood on the wooden fence that were not sealed tightly, so we were taking turns peeking through that crack, just being absolute creepsters. But we saw the teachers hug him and comfort him, and about 2 minutes of being outside, he stopped crying and started playing in the sandbox with his trucks and with his toys. But that first day was, it was tough. Day two, he cried again, and more immediately this time, because he knew right away what was going on. Right after he got into the classroom, he started crying. He said, "Mama, Baba, don't go." But this time, we didn't linger. We left sooner. We were firm. Firm tofu. Said our goodbyes, and you just turn. You know, you just gotta turn your back. And that turn away from your baby, it is just the toughest thing to do. And that's what we did. Philip went off to work, and I waited for a half an hour outside again to see if I could snoop through that little crack to see if he was still crying. But for some reason, they didn't go out that day. So I texted a teacher, and she said, "Hey, great job being firm. He only cried for a minute, and he was fine." And I think that really is this lesson of if you were to linger and show weakness, they can perceive that pretty well and, you know, want to hold on to you harder because of that. But because we were firm, I guess that worked out better. Now, day three, this day was actually the hardest for me. I actually recorded a little snippet of how I was feeling in the moment. I had just driven to a coffee shop and I was sitting in the parking lot and wanted to record this in real time. And so I'm actually going to play back what I was feeling on this day for you all, including some of those raw emotions into this episode. So I'll play it for you now.
Now, this third day, which is this morning, this was tough for me because the morning was great. We did the whole breakfast routine, got him changed, got all his lunch, everything ready and packed and ready to go. And in the car, he was playing with one of the monster trucks that he had taken from the sandbox from school the day before because, well, the teacher let him and they said, just bring it back. And so we were bringing it back and he was playing with this monster truck. We were playing the monster truck song by Blippi, singing in the car, and he was in good spirits. And as I was getting out of the car, he said, "Baba?" And I was like, "Huh?" Because, well, Philip and I, we this whole week were dropping him off and picking him up together, which we know that we don't need to eventually, but we just wanted to do that this week. He was like, "Baba?" And I was like, "Huh?" Philip was driving a separate car, so then he walks up to us, and he was right, Baba's right there. So Baba got him, and then he says to Philip, he says, "Mama, get coffee. Mama, go work." And now I'm getting emotional. And I was like, wait, yes, Mama will get coffee and go to work. And that's his way of like, whenever, sometimes he doesn't really resonate with when I say, "Mama, go work." If anything, he resonates with "Mama, get coffee." I don't know why, but I know he associates the two together, like "Mama, coffee, Mama, work." So he said, "Mama, get coffee, Mama, go work." And I was like, "Oh, I'm still here. I'm going to walk you into school. Okay." And Philip was holding on to him, and I was walking behind them with his backpack, and then he looked back at me, he just smiled. This very confident, like, "I got this, Mama," smile. No teeth showing, just like a smirk. And I looked at him and I smiled, and I was like, "What's going on, buddy?" I said that in my head, I didn't say that out loud. But then we walked up to the door. He pressed the button, the little intercom. The teacher came out. I signed him in. And then we walked into his classroom and everyone said, "Hi." And then we put him down, fully expecting him to run back towards us. And he just slowly walked towards the teacher and turned his back to the teacher to face us, but to show that he was being comforted or in her arms. And then he just looked at us and then we, without lingering, we walked away, and that was like our last image of him just looking at us, like not needing us, not crying, not showing any emotion, actually. But because he was not showing any emotion, I think he was saying, like, I'm being strong in this moment because I know that Mama and Baba are going to work and I have to be here. So he wasn't, like, just suddenly in this new environment going wild and excited to play with the toys and read the books and play with his friends. He was just kind of still, but so strong. And then for some reason, I was like, damn, that's what broke me. Like, when the first 2 days when he's crying, Philip and I were like, we got to be strong for him, right? We got to show him that we're okay, meaning he's okay, and to put on that face. And then this third day, he's like, I got this. I'm strong. And that's when I broke down, because I'm like, okay, well, now it's time for me to be not strong. And Philip felt the same way. So, damn, I did not expect this emotion. I did not expect to feel this way, you know, in a good scenario where your baby's not crying and kicking and screaming and clawing the floor for you. I thought it would be like, okay, good. Now this is the norm. Let's move on with our lives, right? But no, I think this is actually the harder part of all of this. I'm so proud of him.
Oof, hearing all of that put me right back in the feels. For any parents out there who have gone through the first week of putting their kid in school and are on the other side, or perhaps you're anticipating this day with your child or your future child, I just wanted to share this experience because it feels like such a lonely one, and one that is just so unique to such a short period of time of parenthood, which is why it feels so lonely, right? Because not everyone else is experiencing the same thing. But it's such a world-defining moment as well. And it is absolutely a heart-wrenching thing to do, to basically let your child go into a space that you kind of just have to trust. You just got to trust the process. And now that we're 3 weeks, almost a month into daycare, I will say it's just become a part of the norm. Some days he'll say, no, Miss Ruth, who's his teacher, no friends. And I wish I could understand from him why that is the case. But every time I pick him up, he's so happy. And I'll say, did you have a good day? And he'll say, yeah, just like that. He'll come back with his little artwork, show me the alphabet letters that he's learning, tell me that he played with his friends in the sandbox. And you know, it's like life continues to move on. And these milestones, which are so significant in the moment, will become memories and a part of a close but soon to be distant past. So, just want to say thank you for allowing me to share these truly vulnerable feelings in this journey of parenthood. And with the introduction of daycare, it is a super specific period of parenthood, but it's definitely one of those defining moments that will forever be a core memory. And now that he's in daycare, he's going to be in school until 21 if he chooses to be, right? If not even longer. And this week is, you know, this week that I shared was the turning point for all of that. A week before his first day, I remember writing in my journal and writing, I wish I could hold on to him and keep him safe forever. Safe from physical harm, safe from bullies, safe from shame, safe from anger, safe from hate in this world. But I know I can't, and I know it'll only make him stronger. But it's so hard to allow any of this to start being introduced to him, you know? To be the person responsible for allowing the possibility of a scary world to happen to him. How do you remain strong in a week like this? How do you trust the process? It's so hard. But many people have. And here I am on the other side. Me and him both, stronger than ever. And that concludes another episode and another milestone in our little lives over here in the Wang household. I feel like now that school has become a part of our norm and a part of our routine, the issue I'm dealing with is a ridiculous amount of germs that are coming into this household. I swear, every time I pick up my kid, there is a boogery kid trying to hug me, and I give the most intense hover hug I can give them and pull my child away as discreetly but as immediately as possible. But if you have any tips or suggestions on how to get through the next few weeks for me and for our baby to be healthy and well during this time of cold flu season, please share with me in the comments of my latest IG post. I need all the good juju and advice I can get. You can find me at HWooWoo, and our main podcast page is at Asian Boss Girl. Also, catch Living Well with Jay and No Dumb Questions with Mel, and Spill a Baby Tea with me, your host, every Tuesday, where we rotate our shows. And as you know by now, our main show comes out on Thursdays. Also, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, if you have a second to. It really does help us. Thanks, everyone, and hope you're all healthy, safe, and well. From me and my little bums, bye for now.